Support for NPR comes from ADP. Say you're in HR and a solar flare adds an extra hour to each day. How would this impact business? ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to help your business take on the next anything. ADP, always designing for people.
We know you read on your own, but we also know you read together. And for those of you who read with a book club, this episode is for you. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're recommending some great books for your next book club on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Squarespace. Kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI, generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. No matter the placement, Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online. Use code HAPPYHOUR to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Joining me today is one of the hosts of All Things Considered and NPR's daily afternoon news podcast, Consider This, Ari Shapiro. Welcome back, Ari.
Thank you, Linda. It's so nice to be here.
It's always good to have you. NPR's Books We Love feature is a sortable, explorable list of book recommendations from people inside and outside NPR. Today, we're highlighting some selections that might work for a book club. Ari, what is up first?
Well, we've got three very different titles. So whatever your book club is interested in, hopefully one of these will fit the bill. And I want to start with a novel by a Scottish writer named Douglas Stewart. And a lot of people are familiar with his debut book, Shuggy Bane, which was wonderful and it won a ton of awards. His second novel is called Young Mungo, and honestly, I liked it even more than the first one. There are some thematic commonalities between the two. Like, they're both set in Scotland in the late 20th century. They both feature a gay son and an alcoholic mother. There are some commonalities here with the author's life and upbringing as well. But Young Mungo centers on a kind of forbidden romance between these two teenage boys, one Protestant, one Catholic. It's beautiful, it's heartbreaking, it's transporting. It really sets you in a place and a time. It was one of those books where I felt bereft when I turned the last page because I wanted it to keep going.
Yeah, and I know you spoke to Douglas Stewart. What do you find? How does it change a book for you when you talk to the writer of the book?
For me, look, it's like having a private book club between me and the author with a few million people, give or take, eavesdropping, which is one of the things I love most about my job. I had enjoyed Shuggy Bane so much, which I read just for fun on my own. When I saw he had a second book coming out, I thought, yes, I actually get to talk to him about it. And so one of the things that I found most interesting was that he had an entire career working in fashion. He was a textile designer before he got into writing fiction. And in fact, he started doing both at the same time. Now he's a full-time writer. But hearing him talk about the way his experience in the fashion world and in the art world informed his approach to writing was fascinating and not something I've heard from any other author I've ever spoken to.
Wow. All right. Thank you very much. That, again, is Young Mungo by Douglas Stewart. What is our second pick?
The second one is a debut novelist named Belinda Huijin Tong, whose book is called A Map for the Missing. And I love fiction that takes me someplace I've never been. And this book is set in rural China in the 1970s. It jumps back and forth in time between the present and the past. And it's got some of the kind of archetypal elements of a page-turner. There's romance, there's family drama, there's societal upheaval, there's someone who's gone missing. But it is set in this rich, deep historical context that I found totally fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot about the fact that you are somebody who has actually been to more places than many people in your career as a journalist. What is it like when you read books about places that you have been? Do you find that to be, familiar and interesting as well?
That's such a great question. There's a surprising push-pull and overlap between the stuff that I do as a journalist and the stuff that I read in fiction. And there are a couple examples that come to mind of books that are not on this list because they came out earlier. But like right after I returned from Colombia, where I was reporting on the Venezuelan refugee crisis, I interviewed a novelist named Karina Sainz Borgo about a novel she had written called It Would Be Night in Caracas, which through fiction covered the same kinds of issues that I had been reporting on through nonfiction. Similarly, many, many years ago, I read a book called The Hungry Tide by Amitav Ghosh, which is a novel set in this watery mangrove landscape called the Sundarbans, which straddles Bangladesh and India. Many years later, I went to the Sundarbans on a reporting trip. And so I love seeing a place both as a journalist and through the eyes of a fiction writer. I find that it just adds layers of meaning and real depth and richness to the experience.
Yeah, I envy both the amount of reading that you do and the number of places that you get to go, so it makes perfect sense.
Well, I envy the amount of TV that you get to watch, so the feeling is mutual.
All right, so again, that's A Map for the Missing by Belinda Huijun Tang. What is your third pick?
Third pick is completely different from the other two. It is nonfiction. It's written by an investigative reporter for the New York Times named Max Fisher. And the title of the book is The Chaos Machine, The Inside Story of How Social Media Rewired Our Minds and Our World. And this is actually a book that I thought, I know this story. I cover the news every day. I understand how Facebook, Instagram, YouTube hijack our attention. I don't think there's going to be anything new or interesting in this book for me. Turns out, the book is so compellingly written, so deeply researched, and so riveting, I couldn't stop talking about it at dinner parties with my friends, with my husband. It was one jaw-dropping anecdote after another, and I just feel like anybody who uses social media should be aware of what is in this book. I've been talking about it to everybody I know.
You know this about me, Ari. I enjoy social media.
Mm-hmm, same.
I am out there on the internet. You and I have had chats on Instagram and other places. Mm-hmm. I have read a lot of books that feel to me like from the outset, I'm being attacked.
For using social
yes.
media, you mean? Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like I'm being attacked for using, and I feel like there's a failure to understand the upside for people of some of the connections that you make on social media. So explain to me why this is not that book.
I am going to use a metaphor here that may feel like a stretch, but bear with me. Michael Pollan's book, This Is Your Mind on Plants, is a three-part book about the way plants affect us. He writes about opium, caffeine, and mescaline. And the entire caffeine section of the book is basically about all the ways that caffeine messes with our biorhythms and affects the way we relate to the world. Reading it did not make me stop drinking caffeine, but it made me appreciate more deeply the way caffeine is shaping my life in perhaps unseen ways, I say as I actually literally have a cup of coffee right in front of me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that this book, The Chaos Machine, is not a scolding slap on the wrist kind of, you shouldn't be doing this. I found it to be a really helpful, oh, it's nice to be aware of what's going on in ways that I previously wasn't.
And, right.
you know, like reading about caffeine, it didn't stop me from using it, but I feel like it made me a more informed consumer.
Yeah. But I do want to ask you as a reader, how having worked on writing has affected the way that you read, if it has.
The experience of writing a book and running that gauntlet is something that is so challenging in so many ways. Anyone who gets a book to publication deserves a round of applause. And I'm not just saying that because I would like a round of applause. It's like, oh, now I really get how hard it is. I get what these authors actually had to do to reach the point that I have a book in my hands. And so I appreciate that on a different level now.
Yeah, and I think for me at least, it hasn't made me not critical. Like, there are books that I think are good and books that I think aren't good. I think it gives you a little more insight into sort of how do you get from point A to point B and, you know, what are the pressures and what can go wrong and what questions somebody's facing when they sit down to do a project like that.
Look, I still maintain that at least 50% of the nonfiction books I read would be better off as an Atlantic or New Yorker-length article. But if there's a book that I think works as a book-length project, then I'm going to recommend it to you on Pop Culture Happy Hour.
All right. That sounds very, very good. Again, Ari's third pick was The Chaos Machine, The Inside Story of How Social Media Rewired Our Minds and Our World by Max Fischer. If you want to discover even more books NPR loves, visit npr.org/bestbooks. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for being here, Ari. What a delight.
It's been such a pleasure, Linda. Thanks.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. This episode is produced by Ramel Wood and Mike Katziff and edited by Jessica Reedy, with additional production support from Eric Ryan. The Books We Love team is Beth Novi, Natalie Escobar, Maureen Powell, and Megan Collins Sullivan. Hello Come In provides our theme music. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Why is everyone so obsessed with traditional wives or trad wives on social media? This week, we're talking about the viral videos of women making marshmallows and mozzarella from scratch, and how behind the sheen of calm kitchens and cute fits, there's some interesting pessimism about our modern world. And that's worth digging into. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR. On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them, and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.